Hi, thank you for joining me on the Equity in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, David Crowell. The aim of every episode is to open our hearts and minds. With the backdrop of the Derek Chauvin trial and the tragedy in Brooklyn Center where Dante Wright lost his life, there is a lot going on and plenty to pay attention to. Maybe it's not a moment to pay attention to the news. Maybe instead it's a moment for introspection and an opportunity to learn something about ourselves. For the world to be a better place, a more equitable place, we are all going to need to grow. That's why I will share the thoughts of Dr. Cindy Firkin-Smith with you. Dr. Firkin-Smith is a dermatologist and the former CEO of Caris Health. She now leads the new rural health division for CentraCare. George Floyd's death last year was a kind of watershed moment for Cindy. It shook her, like many of us. What she chose to do was to turn her heartbreak and outrage inward and look at her own biases. With the trial behind us and so much work ahead of us, it's worth listening to Dr. Firkin-Smith reflect on her own life after George Floyd lost his life. This is Cindy Firkin-Smith in 2020. Take a listen.
So I was raised in a small town in Iowa that I think, like a lot of small towns in primarily conservative locations, they like to claim to be racially blind and non-racist, but they are not. If not overtly racist, they're pretty covertly racist in the way they act and do. And though my parents would have claimed to be non-racist people, the fact is they were both racist, and my mother is very racist to this day. And perhaps it's that I'm a dermatologist and skin is what I do, but pigment is just pigment. You know, we don't classify people as black or Asian. We classify people according to Fitzpatrick's skin type. So it has to do how much melanin is in your skin. And things look different on the skin based on the amount of melanin in your skin. But diseases are intrinsically the same in the way they behave. And so color of the skin means nothing. And I think the way I've looked at the world has become very upside down in the last few years based on the way I looked at it before. And I have been striving my whole life to be open-minded and anti-racist. And the more I saw of the way the world is going, the more I realized that I'm just very superficial in my attitude, that I let racism happen around me and I hadn't spoken up. Because I think it's very easy when I think it's very easy to sit back and claim, yes, I'm not racist, and yes, I want to give people opportunity. But when people that you love and people that you respect say racist things, we should challenge that. And I think when you're comfortable, it's uncomfortable to challenge those things. And I just haven't. I've been very, very deliberate over the years when I've had the opportunity to hire and during residency interviews at the University of Minnesota, which I've done for 20 years, been very, very deliberate to increase the level of representation from all different types of people in that program. Because it's, you know, dermatology is one of the least diverse. Dermatology is the second least diverse specialty in medicine behind orthopedics. But this year, they asked us prior to interviews to take a test that Harvard puts out to measure your intrinsic racism. Okay, and it's kind of a not overt so much as a covert racism. So for someone who thinks that they're open-minded and non-racist, et cetera, this test is very objective. And I was measured more racist than I expected to be. And for me, that was really eye-opening. It's like, oh yeah, here I think I'm doing such a good thing and I'm being open-minded and I'm interviewing the right people and I'm ranking the right people. But when it comes down to objective measurement, whoa, I'm not so great, am I? And so it opened my mind to the fact that I need to be more cognizant of how I'm acting. And then when I started studying racism, covert and overt racism, I realized that I had inadvertently been guilty of microaggressions over years that were unintentional. And sometimes it was because I was deliberately trying not to be racist, but it was still a microaggression that I did not realize that I was doing. So it just, it unearthed a lot of my inadequacies, how I wanted to do what was right, but I was doing it wrong, and I wasn't speaking up, and I was being way too comfortable. And frankly, the death of George Floyd, like it did for everyone, it upended my world. As hard as it was, I made myself watch the entire clip on YouTube, physically ill, as I'm sure most people were, physically ill through the whole thing, as a mother, listening to that man cry for his mother and cry out for his life. And the people, I felt bad for the people around him. You know, the people who were on the street saying, get off of him, get off of him. And all I could think of was how horrible it was. And then I asked myself, what would I have done? Would I have had the courage to do something? Would I have had the courage to push that police officer off that man? Because, I mean, that's the only thing that you could have done to make that stop. He was not going to change. And that would have saved George Floyd's life, but it might have ended up with whoever did it in jail. And so would I have had the courage to do that? What would I have done? And I can't answer it. I think I would have done something, but would I? I don't know under that circumstance. And I just decided that I was no longer going to be comfortable. I just wasn't going to do it. And so I have committed myself since then to an anti-racist culture and an anti-racist attitude, and I just won't be quiet.
I so appreciate Dr. Ferkin-Smith's honesty and her courage, and I'm going to take her words as inspiration to look into my own heart and mine to find the biases I am blind to. I invite you to do the same. This is not easy work, but it is important work for all of us to do. You might even Google the Harvard Implicit Bias Test. Like Cindy, you may find insights waiting for you to discover. Next time on the podcast, I'll have Kathy Parsons in for a conversation. Kathy is the Vice President of Population Health for CentraCare. We'll talk about the intersection of pop health and equity. Until then, be well. Thank you.